Turner here with Shades of Agriculture. Welcome back to another episode. Today I have a really good friend of mine, Mr. Dr. Timothy Sandals. Just a little background about me and him. I met him when I was actually working for CEP in Waller County, and he worked in Fort Bend County as a 4-H agent for the Cooperative Extension Program. I think, Tim, how long were you in Fort Bend County, brother?
I was in Fort Bend County a little over 7 years.
Okay. And so what did you do there, obviously?
Well, while I was in Fort Bend County, I served as the 4-H and youth development agent, and I handled mostly the, the 4-H program related to the Cooperative Extension Program. But I would say in Fort Bend County, we had a great working relationship, so I got to do a lot of 4-H activities and involvement working in Fort Bend, so I really enjoyed it.
Gotcha. So obviously I have you on the show for a reason. You have a deep background in agriculture. You've done a lot of things, man. You've got your doctorate from LSU, and I think it was A&M, right, to get your undergrad?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
I did.
Of course. Everybody don't like that one. And so just a little background about yourself, man. I don't want to, take the spotlight off of you. So what just a little about your background as far as in agriculture.
I just feel like my whole life has been rooted in agriculture, and my first memories of agriculture were growing up living with my great grandmother in Normangee, Texas, right outside of Madisonville. And so growing up in Madisonville, I was heavily involved in 4-H and FFA, and really just having that family connection of agriculture, feeding pigs and having horses. My family trail rided a lot, so we would trail ride on the weekends. And so just really having that big connection, and throughout high school showing cattle, it just really grew and developed as my leadership developed through FFA and my community involvement. So through those activities, I had the opportunity to go to Texas A&M, where I got my undergraduate degree in agricultural development. I enjoyed my time at A&M. And then after A&M, I became a county extension agent, which I never even thought about becoming a county extension agent. And one day in a previous job, my former county extension agent hit me up and was like, hey, they have this 4-H position at Prairie View. And I was like, Prairie View, they have 4-H? Like, I had no idea. Like, I had no idea, because I had grown up in the 1862 4-H program. So no recollection, whatever the word is. So no knowledge of this 1890 program. You know what I mean?
Right,
none.
Right, I got you.
Not at all. I didn't see it.
And I was kind of the same way too. When I was like, Prairie View got a 4-H section? What is that going
yeah,
on?
Yeah, I was like, what is this? Like, it's crazy. And so because of him, I applied for the position. I actually interviewed for a position in Harris County. And after interviewing, they said, well, we have a position we think will be a better fit. And so the agent who had interviewed in Fort Bend County and I swapped. So they hired us both, and then we just swapped counties.
Okay.
It really kind of worked out for us both better, I think. And so I loved my job as a county extension agent. I really loved having students in traditional 4-H clubs. And I did also like having students who had no understanding of agriculture and who thought that bacon came from turkeys. You know, like, that aspect was kind of fun, too. And so that's the opportunity to shape young minds and families, introducing them to agriculture and all things ag. And so then after that, I had the opportunity to do a PhD program at LSU, and I really wasn't going to go to LSU, but it just was perfect. And, and I think that God does stuff for us in the most, unexpected way sometimes. And I think he has a sense of humor. And so I remember giving my 2 weeks notice thinking, I cannot believe I'm about to move to Baton Rouge and go to graduate school full time. Like, I went to graduate school full time. I'm here.
Oh,
so that's a little bit about my background.
And that's right. You helped me get that job over there when I came that way. You put in a good word for your boy.
I did. I felt like you were. I feel like you'd be good in Fort Bend. And I mean, look at you now. You over there thriving. So
I'm just trying, brother. No, I'm talking about the job in Lake Charles. Remember in LSU when I came? That was there for what, a year or two?
Yes, you did come to Lake Charles for a brief while. You did. I would say this. One thing that I loved about being at LSU and in Baton Rouge is that people were really nice. They were genuine. I tell people this all the time. At A&M, it was rich in tradition, but I really felt like the LSU was really rich in culture, you know? And so I liked this family vibe that was completely different than the Southern Baptist experience that I had had at A&M and with, you know, the Extension Service here in Texas. So I really enjoy just building these great relationships with people from LSU.
I remember when I got there, I gained what 15 pounds in the first couple months I was there, because you can't not eat anything that's in front of you. Like, you just have to eat it. You have to try it. And everything had gravy on it, and everything came with rice.
Yeah, and everybody was just, it was like everybody was so nice and inviting. And oh, we have this satsuma tree outside our house. So we brought you these to the office today. Or my uncle makes a great jambalaya. So I brought you a bowl. You know, it was just really nice. Like people are really nice and caring. And so I did enjoy Baton Rouge. They were extremely inviting of my like talents, and they wanted to know my perspectives. And one thing that I liked about them too is that they didn't know like my extensive like agricultural background. I showed up there as a graduate student, like literally a poor graduate student, you know, not very clean shaven, just like I'm here to get this degree and go home. So the fact that many of those people didn't even know that was like great. And so over time, I was able to like say, hey, well, let me tell you this, and then let me
Yeah,
tell you that,
let
and
me
let
he's
me
out
tell
there.
you
I
this.
got
Like,
this under my belt.
yeah, let me just let y'all know. Like, I'm not a rookie to this stuff. Like, I kind of know. So it was great.
That's good, man. Well, I'm like definitely happy for you, proud of you, man. Ever since I met you, I was like, this dude is something special, man. And so I'm proud of you, Dr. Sandals. I won't call you
I
another name, I
definitely
always call
appreciate
you. So
that.
all right, so we talked about you showed animals, right? You said you showed everything besides pigs. We talked about that before we got on the interview. So tell me about that. So give me some any accolades or accomplishments that you got through that you want to share, or
I would just say I think the biggest accolade that I would say is that I just come from like a hardworking family. So in my house, it was like four of us. And my mom was a single mom, and she busted her ass to ensure that, you know, we had not only animals to show, but like quality animals. You know, there was never a time I went into a show ring and was feeling like I wasn't going to do well, you know. And so it was about building connections with ranchers and stuff in our community. And the people in Madison County wanted to see my family succeed. And so ranchers would do whatever it took to help us, you know, buy quality projects. So there was a ranch that I showed for at all of the major shows. And so this ranch worked closely with me to just make sure that I had a calf every show season. And so I could just walk into a show ring feeling confident of a brand as well as the animal that I was exhibiting. So, and it was just a relationship and a partnership that I just grew to love and appreciate about growing up in a small town. Our county fair, since it was, you know, like I said, it was four of us with animals, we almost had like our own little show team because, you know, I might have two calves and my brother might have a calf and a steer and a pig and my sister. Like, so we had like our own animals. And so it was good to go and, you know, I finished strong and finished well. Like most of the time we were in like the top 10 of the sale. So not only were we showing, but we were doing really well. And in my community, we were like the only black family at the time doing that. So, you know, we got to experience some of the strange looks at first to the, you know, people being completely inviting and welcoming to us, especially when families realize, like, okay, these are my children's friends. And so they're going to be inviting them home for dinner. So we're going to go ahead and embrace them as well. So, you know, we had some ups and downs and some weird experiences, but ultimately, you know, it shaped us to be great showmen and appreciators of agriculture and our community.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's cool. That small town family atmosphere ain't nothing like that, man. I was lucky enough to do that myself in Rockdale. You know what that is. And so your story is hitting home, man, and really, really hard. So my next question is this. So you kind of talked about, your accomplishments in the small towns and things like that. So what was your favorite part of showing, or what's your favorite part of agriculture that you're from the past or what you're in now? So just what's your favorite parts of it right now?
My favorite part of agriculture is This is going to sound crazy. My favorite part of agriculture is just being around the people and sharing the space with people who enjoy and have passion for agriculture too, even if it's on completely different levels. I feel like there's a different sense of excitement of people who love and appreciate agriculture. Think about in a show, at a show barn, people are just sitting on coolers and show boxes, all just interacting with each other, just grateful for the opportunity and proud of how they contribute to agriculture as it relates to beef. If you go to a horse show and you walk up and down the stalls, you see people talking and conversing. If you go to the feed store there, like I remember the older gentleman and my grandfather at the feed store drinking coffee and just chit-chatting about the weather and then having to get back home to do whatever chores they had. But it was just like agriculture was like really brought people together with this shared interest, and people really like looked out for you, you know, because you know you had this thing in common. So you would get a call and say, y'all got a bull out over here, or you know, there's a limb across the fence, and people would just like kind of help out. So I really like how agriculture brought people together. So that's something that I really could appreciate from my experiences with it.
Oh man, that's nothing to laugh about. That's a great answer there, brother. That's a
You know, I
great
thought you
answer.
expect me to be like, well, I like farming and
I like cows.
I like cows.
Yeah, I like cows. No, that's a great answer, man. That's awesome. Yeah, and it's cool you had that experience and can talk about it. A lot of people don't have that experience, and so that's awesome that you have that and can talk about it. So, I'm just gonna ask you. So, you had your favorite part. So, what's your least favorite part?
My least favorite part, and just being honest and candid, was growing up in like a situation or a culture where I almost felt like I couldn't ask questions. It's like because this is how we do it. And me and my cousins and my brother, we talk about this all the time. Like our grandfather had like specific roles for us. And so it's like, Tim, you can't drive the truck, but Brad is going to drive you to the feed store to pick up XYZ, you know, and this is the list that you pick up, you know,
Gotcha.
like so he had like very specific roles for us, and we did very specific things. Like if we were fixing fence and cutting limbs, like we knew who was going to do what. And so it's kind of cool that he saw those strengths and talent in us then. But I was a question asker. I'm that grandson who's like, so why do we have to do it this way? So do we really like, is it cheaper to go by post rather than cut? Like, you know, I was that grandson. And so I felt
Oh,
like,
y'all did that? Y'all made your
oh,
own poles?
we made our own post. Like we
Oh,
were like we were working. And so I had a lot of questions sometimes that I didn't ask because I knew it was gonna be just get to work, you know. And so knowing what I know now, I wish I would have like forced answers to some of those questions rather than just go along with it. And I think culturally, it's something that just happens out on a farm. It's like, I don't know, you just do what I tell you to do when you get out here, and you're gonna dig these post holes, and this is why we put the brace this way, this is why we worm them this way. Like, is this just what we do? Be quiet. And so that was one thing that I had that I feel like I couldn't ask as many questions, or I didn't feel comfortable, you know, asking a whole lot more questions that I had. And so now that my grandfather's, you know, long gone, it's like, dang, I probably should have asked those questions, because if my kids ever ask me, then I could give them an answer other than that's just the way we've always done it.
Hey, man, you hitting the nail on the head, brother, because I had the same situation with my pops, man. He was his way or the highway. There wasn't no detours, and there wasn't no crossing. You stay in his lane, is what it was. And see, my dad was 6'6", 300 pounds. I wasn't gonna ask no questions. I'm like, yes, sir, this is how we gonna do it. But I
No,
definitely
I was like
understand.
asking questions to my brother. I'm like, this makes absolutely no sense. I'm like, y'all, do y'all realize this is dumb? Like, I'm like, this is dumb. Like, this is so stupid. And they,
It's
everybody
new
be like, just,
technology.
they're like, just shut up. You think you're so smart? And I'll be like, okay, you know what? I'm quiet. Just pass me the worm. You know what
It's new. Hey, look, trust me, brother. I know exactly what he's saying.
mean?
Like, it's new technology. Why are we still doing it this way? We could use a log splitter instead of an axe. Come on now. Yeah, I got you. So, moving along. I'm gonna hit that on the nose. So, shades of agriculture. I'm trying to get all shades and all creeds and colors, out so people can see to hear their story. So, as an African American agriculture, How did it feel being in the atmosphere? Can you kind of hit on it before, but like, how did it feel, or how does it feel? I mean, you know, I'm sure you were only one of the only African Americans in the ag program, you know, same thing at LSU. So how did that feel?
So growing up, I knew that myself and my family, we were like the only, you know, African-American family doing such a thing. When I served as the area FFA president, I was traveling to like different schools and different districts and, you know, really doing the whole FFA thing. Cause like I did the FFA thing. Like I did it. I showed cows, FFA, the whole nine. But honestly, I feel like I had like these blinders on, and I believe that it was a form of protection. So even when I experienced like racism, or I experienced some maybe anything, any opposition that I felt like growing up at the time, I had like these blinders on. And so I would just continue to navigate through the process. So if I heard any racial slurs or anything that was out of line, I just kept going. I just kept pressing. It wasn't until I got to college, when I got to A&M, and then I realized that certain things that I had experienced were completely wrong. It wasn't until I got to A&M and started being an account extension agent too that I realized that some of these conversations at my friends' parents' houses were not okay, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was almost like this guilt that I felt later in life, because I was like, oh my God, like I should have said something, you know, I should have stood up. But like I said, I think it was like this protection that just kind of kept me, you know, with blinders on moving forward. But all those things has helped me now, because through all these experiences, I've had experience being a coordinator for equity, diversity, and inclusion. And I've worked at the system office at the college where I work at now, doing research and program related to equity and inclusion, and now to work in professional development, where I have this opportunity to talk about bias and discrimination and racism and all of those things, and any topic related to professional development. I can draw on the experiences that I had as a young Black boy in Madisonville, Texas, you know, being exposed to individuals who are racist and who say really ignorant things. I can tell you one time as a county extension agent, I was traveling with a colleague to a rancher's house, and the colleague that I was with blatantly said, he said, hey, when we get here, this gentleman may say something racist, but but we're just gonna keep going. And I remember saying, I should probably stay in the car, you know, because like at this point I'm aware, and there are some things that I'm not, you know, gonna deal with, or like there's a professional way to handle it. So
exactly.
But I would tell anybody that's getting into agriculture, someone new, honestly, you just really have to understand the agricultural context as it relates to our country. You know, you have to understand who were the people who profited off of agriculture, and who were the people who worked. And so we've come a long way, but we still have a whole lot further to go.
Right.
And so, I always say in my classes, you know, our experiences create our beliefs, and our beliefs create our action and results. And so, and we think about all of these people who've had experiences in agriculture, those experiences have created their beliefs. And so as the Black man, I have to be willing to change the experience of being a young Black man who worked on a farm with his grandfather to a Black executive leading agriculture, you know, and I have to be willing to have those experiences, and I have to be willing to share my experiences with others so they understand how I felt, you know, and hope that they would have that empathy to be willing to walk in my shoes so that they change the way they do things, especially as it relates to people and race.
Right. Okay. So I guess we can back up a little bit. So we didn't really get into what you're doing now. You kind of hit on it just a second ago. So what are you doing now, Dr. Sandals? What is your job? What is your career? What is your role as of this moment right now?
So right now I am a manager at learning and development at a community college here in Houston. And I have opportunity to teach faculty and staff professional development on a variety of topics, from diversity to project management, to accountability, whatever it is. You know, one of the things that I really like is creating programs based around learning objectives that I'm given, you know, understanding the background and then creating a program that meets the needs of the audience. I'm also coach a lot of managers utilizing CliftonStrengths as an approach to help them be more of who they are to lead people. And it's funny how I got into professional development because while I was at LSU, I was serving as the coordinator of diversity and inclusion. And I love my job at LSU. I was the advisor of the Manners chapter, just really interacting with students and just really falling in love with LSU agriculture and the College of Agriculture. But my grandmother at the time wasn't doing well, and my mom has Alzheimer's disease. And I got to a place where it was like, okay, you need to come home. You know, I have a twin sister and she takes care of my mom full time and does an amazing job. And it was like we got to start figuring out some plans. We got to think about some things. Like, you need to try to get back this way. And I just kind of felt led. I was like, I do need to come home, you know, which I'm kind of glad I did because I was able to be with my grandmother in her last days and really just kind of figure out some things with my mom. And I had an opportunity at Lone Star to go into equity and inclusion at their system office. And so I took that job, which kind of I felt like took me out of agriculture where I really wanted to be. And I had that desire and passion, but it was a way to stretch me and for me to learn a whole lot more about a topic that could ultimately go back and impact the work that I do in agriculture someday.
Oh man, that's awesome. Okay.
The people from organizational development basically stole me from their department. They were like, this will be a better fit for you. We know you don't like wearing suits and stuff every day and being all stiff. So come over here." And that's what I did.
That's that extension agent in you, man. Once you get taste of that going to work and you know, jeans and a nice shirt and a suit just ain't gonna cut
Oh yeah, no,
it.
it was stiff. It was stiff.
It's
Yeah,
stiff.
it was like wearing a suit every day instead of a
Oh.
shirt. And
Oh
I'm like,
no, we ain't we never built like that after being an extension. We just
no.
no, we not built like that. So, I mean, you hit on some amazing topics here, man. And so I don't want to keep you very long, but so looking back, would there be anything you would have done differently? I know you talked about asking questions with your grandfather and things like that. So besides that, is there something you would have done differently as far as yeah, just done differently?
No, I don't think I would have done anything differently
Nothing?
because no, I feel like the journey that I took was great and amazing. You know, I have learned that in some of the areas that didn't go well, that sometimes it didn't have anything to do with me. And I feel like just being honest and candid, when I worked in extension, in the times that I wasn't successful, I wasn't being perceived as successful, it was things related to gender. There were things related to generational differences that didn't allow the people who were evaluating me to understand my perspective. And I think at the time, they weren't even willing to understand my perspective. So I think I did a really good job of like being true to myself. I feel like if I was to do an evaluation of the folks I work with in the county, they would say I did an amazing job. The kids, a lot of my first kids still call me Uncle Tim to this day.
Oh yeah,
If
that's
I see
cool.
them anywhere, they'll say Uncle Tim on social media. So I don't think that I would have done anything differently. One of the things that I do now is I try to encourage youth to consider agriculture from a different perspective. I did my dissertation at LSU on assessing students in the College of Ag's intention to study abroad. And I feel like growing up, I never even considered this global agricultural capacity. I never thought about what agriculture would look like in Nicaragua to the contrast of that in Europe. You know, I didn't think about that. I was only worried about cow sales and plows here in Texas.
Yeah,
Like,
gotcha.
honestly, that's what I was worried about. And so as I increased in my education, I learned that like there's so much to agriculture. You know, in 2020, like how are we going to be feeding people? How are we going to be clothing them? What energy sources are we going to be needing to sustain families in a pandemic? You know, in a financial crisis, like so, what does agriculture look like that? When I talk to students and individuals interested in agriculture, like I tell them to walk into a grocery store and think of everything in there having some type of agricultural component, from the food preservation to the marketing to the displaying and merchandising at the grocery store. to the actual harvesting of it and the distribution of it. Like everything in this place has some type of agriculture component, from the legal team that is utilized to help fight anything, from pasture to plate to market, all of those things. Like agriculture is vast. And so when I meet especially African American individuals, I tell them, like, we are sharp. Like we are contributors of agriculture because we
Yes, sir.
provide a different perspective. And so don't limit yourself to the careers in agriculture that you've seen. You don't necessarily have to go back to the farm to be an amazing contributor. One of my favorite cousins got an agriculture degree, and now she manages a baby food plant. Like think about that contribution to agriculture.
That's amazing, man.
It's
Yeah,
like
that's
you
right.
come from a lineage of people. Like our great grandparents worked in the fields and did all these things and got pennies for their crops, and now you have the potential to operate a baby food plant, as well as smart enough to understand the science behind the packaging and the operation of the plant and the distribution. Like, I think that's dope. And so when I'm encouraging individuals, I say, hey, you can have a career in agriculture, but you don't have to be limited. You can be an attorney, you can be an engineer, and you can still have that impact on agriculture. And that's a niche for us, So it's like, go get your degree in anything you want, but think about how could that add value to agriculture, something that we need.
Exactly. So you're more of a big picture, think outside the box type of guy. That's what I'm getting from your answer, which is amazing because what you just said kind of hit home with me too. I go in the grocery store and go directly to what I want because I don't like shopping. Go directly to what I want, get it and leave. You never ever consider thinking about the deeper aspect of what you're looking at, even from the boxes to the fruits, the vegetables, the cane, all everything has something to do with agriculture,
Yeah,
man.
everything. And you don't need a 4-year degree to do some of those things. It's about getting in there and getting started and gaining that experience and then capitalize on it. One thing that I really loved about LSU was that the apparel, textile, and the merchandising department was in the College of Agriculture. And I remember minority families coming to visit with me. You got to come and visit me, and you let's win you over.
I
And then
got you.
parents saying, my child is going to be a fashion designer. They don't need to be in the College of Agriculture, as they would say. They don't need to be here. Like, and then when you talk about the fibers and the textiles and saying, like, how much marketable does it make your child if he understand the thread, if he understand, why this fabric costs so much?
The
If he's
ground roots,
consulting with clients, he could suggest a different fabric depending on their budget. You know what I mean? He understands so much more because he understands the root. It's like from the ground up, your child understands all types of prints and like everything because it's in the College of Agriculture and they can have the absolute best lab experience, because of the college that it's in. So I
Man,
did like that.
that's awesome, man. Okay. So what you got planned for the future, Tim? I know you do speaking engagements. I know you do teaching. I know you do all kinds of amazing stuff. I know you have had a workshop what a couple months ago or something, did you? Something like that. So what you got coming up in the future, man?
In the future, I'm hoping to do a whole lot more coaching. I really like coaching individuals and helping individuals meet their passion and develop strategy to help achieve the goals that they have. I really like doing trainings for teams and groups and helping them, define goals and things if they don't have it. But I don't know, like I'm really like in this place where I'm just pretty much open to any types of opportunity. I affectionately call myself an agriculturalist, educator, and strategist. So anything that falls into those categories, like I'm game. I do hope to get back in like a professional career that's directly tied and associated with agriculture. But for right now, I think this little detour is really helping me in some ways that I never would have imagined. 'Cause like now I'm understanding this professional development component. And I think about if there was a person who knew as much as I do now about professional development, how would that impact farmers and ranchers? 'Cause even the approach, if I had to go back and be an extension agent now, my approach to extension education would be completely different.
Really?
Yeah, my program designed for eradicating Chinese towel trees would be totally different. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it
I
would
got
be
you.
different. Like, I would really
Yeah, I got
go
you.
into it with a whole different intentionality than when I did before. So
Okay.
I don't know. I'm open.
Oh, that's okay. Hey, well, that's good, man. As long as you're open and willing to learn, you seem like you got some good stuff on your plate, and maybe you come back to extension one day, hang out with your boy. We don't know. We'll see.
I mean, who knows? I mean, you never know where we end up.
Hey. I got you. So, man, I appreciate your time, buddy. This 30 minutes went by pretty quick. I know you're a very important gentleman. Like I said, once again, I thank you for being on the show. So tell me and tell everybody where they can find you as far as social media wise. You know, go ahead and throw your plug out there.
Okay, my email address is tksandals@gmail.com, and that is sandals, sandles. And if they would like to follow me on Instagram, my Instagram name is thedoc, thedoc underscore tk, thedoc underscore tk. You can also find me on LinkedIn, Timothy Sandals. I welcome any interactions, comments, questions, concerns.
Hey,
and if I could be of assistance to you in the future, please, you know, hit me up. Let me know how we can partner. I don't mind answering questions or doing whatever I can.
You know, I'm coming at you real quick here. Just get everything on the ground rolling, and I'm coming at you real quick. I got some big things I want to talk to you about, and I think we can be partnering up and be some good stuff, man. But like I said, brother, I greatly appreciate your time, man. I'm proud of you, proud of all the things you're doing, proud of the impact you're making on the world of ag and also what you're doing now. I'm glad to see you happy. I know it was a long road, you know, for everybody. But like I said, man, I thank you very much for your time. And anything else you want to say to the people before we
no,
get out
I
of
just
here?
Want to say, I just want to thank you for inviting me on and encouraging you to keep doing this, because there are so many shades to agriculture. There are so many facets to agriculture. And so I think it's dope that you're willing to be a journalist, if you will, to capture all of these stories and experiences so that other people can begin to see this like prism of color that agriculture provides. And so kudos to you, and I just hope that you keep going and thriving doing this.
Well, I appreciate that, brother. I'm gonna try my best, and this is a lot of work. Okay,
you are equipped to do it,
but yeah, it's I'm enjoying it, to be honest with you. I'm meeting people and learning a lot of stuff from these people, man. And then like with the conversation me and you just had, my eyes are open to some more things I need to look at differently, and I just realized some things, man. And I appreciate that from you as well. But like I said, Tim, man, thanks for your time, brother. I'm proud of you, and maybe I get you on another episode here coming up soon. But as far
All
as
right.
I said, man, thank you, brother, and have a good one.
Have a good night.
All right, folks. I had Timothy Sandals. You saw his information at the end right there. Thank him for being on my show today. He's a very important gentleman, and he does a lot of good things with agriculture and things like that. So once again, y'all take it easy, and I appreciate y'all's time, and I'll see y'all next episode.